Welcome to In Conversation with Lyndon Terracini, the podcast where we meet the extraordinary talents, both on stage and off, working at Opera Australia. These conversations were all originally filmed for our streaming service, OA TV. You can find more online at tv.opera.org.au, as well as full productions and behind-the-scenes footage. In 2012, Opera Australia launched a great adventure. It was called Handa Opera on Sydney Harbour. And the first production we staged was La Traviata. It was directed by Francesca Zambello and designed by Brian Thompson, with costumes by Tess Schofield and lighting by John Raymond. It had a wonderful sound design by Tony David Cray, and it was conducted by Brian Castles Onion. It was a fantastic success, but leading up to the first night of La Traviata, it rained and it rained and it rained, and the cranes were bogged, the bobcats were bogged, and we were all in fear and trepidation for the first night. But on the first night, that morning, the sun came out, it was a beautiful Sydney day, and we had this tremendous success with this stage, with the Sydney Harbour Bridge, the Sydney Opera House, and the wonderful city of Sydney skyline, and a wonderful cast of Emma Matthews, Jonathan Summers, and Gianluca Terranova singing their hearts out. It was a great night, and it laid the foundations for all of the productions that we've done on Sydney Harbour since. Now, I have three guests tonight, or this afternoon, or this morning, whenever you're watching this: Brian Castles Onion, who conducted it, Emma Matthews, who sang Violetta, and Jonathan Summers, who sang Je Mon Père. I hope you enjoy this wonderful production of La Traviata, and welcome to OA TV. Well, Brian, we'll start with you, and perhaps you could give us an idea of how you felt conducting the very first performance of Handa Opera on Sydney Harbour, and what were your impressions when you first came onto the site and saw how it looked.
Look, well, I think all performers perform in different venues, and for me this was just another one, but it was more exciting because it wasn't in the theatre. And for me, the best thing, and I think the orchestra as well, was that they weren't in a black pit with only little sconce lighting. We were in basically a recording studio with lights on, so we could see each other and they could communicate just with their eyes. Look, it was great. But it was a wonderful feeling. We knew that we were all doing something really special, especially because of the first one, because it was the tryout. And it went really well. I didn't think we had any teething problems at all.
No, it was a wonderful performance. But how did you feel, and you mentioned the musicians and the recording studio, which is literally underneath the stage, how did you feel when you couldn't actually see the singers? They could see you on a screen, on the sound tower, but you couldn't see them.
Well, I've always believed that rehearsals are about gaining trust between me and the singers. So we don't really need to see each other, but I do remember during the run, there was a performance in Act One where our one little speaker, which fed down the sound from the singing, went off for, I don't know, 10 minutes. And I remember that it was Emma, and it was Emma's performance. And it was obviously towards the beginning of Act One, because I remember there was a pause and then Violetta would turn around and go on with a phrase. And so there was no sound for us, so we didn't know where everyone was. And so I just waited and I saw this little blue dot on the screen turn around, and we started. And when at interval, none of the singers actually knew that there was any problem whatsoever. We of course were so scared that it was going to fall apart, but it didn't. You know, it could have been a train wreck, but thank God Emma turned around at the right time, which was my cue to start the phrase. It was great.
And Jonathan, what about you? I mean, you've sung Je Mon Père, oh, and many, many times in theatres all over the world. But this was, it's an extraordinary sight. So how did you feel about it?
I was glad that I was very familiar with this particular role because the surroundings were so foreign. it was a wonderful challenge. And I remember visiting the site when it was under construction. And I just couldn't believe quite what was happening there. And I used to take the long route to rehearsals on the way, looking across Farm Cove and seeing progress. And then all of a sudden seeing a crane. And then all of a sudden seeing this wonderful, great big chandelier hanging from the crane. Then I would change boats at Circular Quay and get on the Parramatta River, River Cat, and then boat all the way up to the Olympic Park jetty, and then get on my bike at the jetty and cycle over to the rehearsal place. So it was really quite extraordinary, the whole experience. And then finally to get on the site with all of the teething troubles that we had, first and foremost, rain.
Exactly. I mean, yes.
For goodness sake. And I'll never forget the first time we had a great big thunderclap. Something came in from the Tasman and virtually wiped out the backstage area. We came in and discovered that all the costumes that had come in were soaking wet and they had to be taken off-site to be dried. And then my next reminiscence of that is actually seeing Brian in the bunker. Oh, for goodness sake, that was just incredible to see all those musos there under the stage making this amazing sound. And then, of course, Tony David Cray with doing wonderful things with that sound, unlike all you can describe it as, is a rock and roll rig. We were kind of like rock stars on this platform, and it was just an incredible experience. It really was. The one thing that I do remember, though, was that when we started to rehearse on the stage, somebody said to me, "Well, we had a bit of a thing with a cocky today." I said, "What was that?" And they said, "Well, we put up this little weather station on the top of the crane to monitor the weather for us. And within an hour, there was a sulfur-crested cocky up there taking it apart." So I don't know whether they ever put one back, but it was quite a special experience, it really was. And to perform to that amazing crowd in those settings, I shall never forget it.
No, we had lots of problems with the cockies. They come back every year and try and destroy whatever they can find that's up high.
The Aida especially.
Aida, yes, that's true. Well, Emma, you were singing Sempre Libera marvellously, I have to say. And but by the time you got to the high E flat, you were in the basket underneath the chandelier, flying up into the night sky above the harbour, above the opera house, the harbour bridge. How was that?
Oh, look, I ended up loving it. I was really quite terrified at first and thought, how the hell is this going to work? But it was so safe. I mean, I had a little harness and a little clip that I put on the, had to do it all in between notes and attach myself and still look sexy and hot and get up there. And I remember you wanted me to hold the top C until I got up to the top. I was like, bloomin' heck, Lyndon, but did it. And I love, that's one of my favorite things that I've ever done in my life. It was so exhilarating being lifted up above. And, you know, I remember there's a photograph there that where the opera house looks teeny tiny like this in the background. And it looks like I'm standing on the top like a decoration on a wedding cake. But it was exhilarating singing, doing that under the stars. And I remember everybody applauded as we went up, and oh, it was fantastic. It was so beautiful.
So thank you very much for joining us. Jonathan in London, Emma in Perth, and Brian Castle's Onion in the beautiful Southern Highlands. Thank you for giving us this wonderful experience, and we look forward to seeing you again soon. Thank you for listening to In Conversation with Lyndon Terracini. We hope you've enjoyed the chat, and we'd love for you to subscribe to the podcast. That way, you'll get each new episode as they're released. We also hope to see you in the theatre in the not-too-distant future. And you can stay up to date with all we've got going on at opera.org.au.